Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the What If South Is Up podcast, where we explore the twists of fantasy and sci-fi with our What If lens. Delving into and debating fictional worlds, we blend wisdom and whimsy to spark your creativity. Get ready to reimagine and enlighten as we journey from what if to what's possible. My name is Derek Hall, creator of the Crimson Prophecy series, and I am here with my ammonia-poisoned co-host, Christina Xena Lefebvre.
They don't know the backstory. Don't worry, I'm fine.
They don't
fine.
Need the backstory. We're just going to leave it there.
Okay.
Don't need no stinking backstory.
In case you didn't figure it out, I am the aforementioned ammonia poison, Christina Lefebvre. And I'm in the middle of building my first world, a magical parallel Earth with colonization that never occurred in the Americas. And reworking my first novel with a working title, Claws and Claws. As we continue on today's adventure, Mr. Hall, what are you drinking today?
Oh, well, I have a local beer. It is a seasonal beer that I just happen to have some left of, and it's called Snowblind. It is a white stout.
A white stout.
Yes.
So whites tend to be crisper, and stouts tend to be deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand.
It tastes like a stout, but it's a blonde. It looks like a lager.
That hurts.
It hurts the brain a little bit. It's not my favorite thing ever, but I actually do really like it.
Oh,
well. Yeah, it's strange, but it's tasty, and I'll go with that. What do you have?
I have a Bellini Martini.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah. I have a whipped vanilla vodka with a splash of Bellini flavored seltzer. So
there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Working.
Hey, that's what matters. Since our last episode, what's new in your writing world? Any breakthroughs or fresh storytelling tricks or, you know, progress in general?
So I recently went through some of my old chapters that were submitted to critique groups, partners. And I have to say, it was kind of eye-opening. I don't think my prose or my voice has changed at all, but my understanding of story structure or storytelling has.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading through these comments and these suggestions, and they're hitting me differently than they did when I first did them. I mean, so how do I say this? I understand better now not only what I was doing wrong, but what I was doing right. But here, the kicker is, I know why those things are right or wrong. And I don't know, I feel like I can better stand up for myself now. Not that I need to stand up for myself with critique partners, but when I write something in a certain way and then somebody else comes back and says, this is wrong, or this doesn't work, or you're not doing this right, or consider this, I think I'm better able to come back now and say, I'm cool with this. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So you've learned kind of the under the hood mechanics of what makes something work or not,
mm-hmm,
enough that you can see what people are trying to say and then decide whether or not to take that advice.
Right. And I'm reading back these comments and what they said. When I read it before, I was like, I didn't quite really understand what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But now it resonates so much more with me. I don't know. Either I'm less defensive about my prose, or I'm a better understanding the mechanics, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's interesting. So I don't know. That was just real an eye opener for me. But that's so I would talk about mechanics of writing. That's that story. But I do have something else that came up with like just moments ago, and I'm so excited about it. And I know it's going to be a spoiler, for listeners once I finally publish the book. So if you don't want to hear this spoiler, like mute for the next, I don't know, what is it going to be, like 30 seconds or so? Anyways, for those 12 listeners who will continue to listen, I apologize for the spoiler, but thank you for listening. Anyways, I've decided that my bad guy, my big bad evil guy, my antagonist, whose name is Nikolai, right? I'm going to give him the nickname of Doc. And the reason
is he going to have a kick-ass mustache too?
He doesn't have a mustache. No, that's too pedestrian for him. Anyways, he's called Doc because when he was pulled over to Cobb, the world of Anixia, when he's pulled over because he came through a parallel portal, came across a portal from a parallel world, his jumpsuit said DOC on the back.
Ooh.
When he landed in Cobb, nobody really understood what that meant, right? Because they're not, it's not their world. So, and he never corrected anybody. So,
fair enough.
I just think that's a cute, evil twist, and I just love it.
That's great. I can see that being kind of cinematic.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I don't know how we reveal it, but I just think it's wonderful. But what about you? What do you got going on for your story? What breakthroughs, tricks, anything? What you got?
Well, I got back into book three. Made a little bit of progress.
Oh, it's so yay wonderful. For that. Yay!
Made a little bit of progress and then realized I didn't know a damn thing about one of the characters that's going to play a sizable part in the story.
Ooh, that hurts.
To the point of forgetting their name repeatedly.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
After much deliberation, wailing, gnashing of teeth, and maybe a blood sacrifice or two, I've decided that this particular character is getting their own novella, and I'm going to write that
helps you, right?
First.
Yeah, that helps you.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Normally, I write the novella after the novel, but in this case, I think it'll help the process. And that way I can get into their head, get to know them, and then go back to the main book yet again and really nail their portion of the story.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yep. So that's where I'm at. Working on that. I'm not going to say a decent chunk, but a little tidbit of that written and working on it as I can.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. As writers, it's crucial to keep our craft sharp by diving into stories, any type of stories, the art of storytelling. We could do this through reading or watching or even listening. So, Mr. Hall, any interesting stories you've consumed since our last episode?
I did a lot of research for an episode that has since been canned, which is fine. Sorry. But it means that I dove into some unfamiliar water that was as of yet uncharted in my pop culture journey, which is fine. But aside from that, I've been rewatching The Mandalorian because my kid wanted to watch Baby Yoda.
Oh my God, me too! I've been rewatching that! No kidding! Not kidding.
Kid wanted to watch it, so we've been watching that a little at a time. And I'm reading the Witcher series of books. And it's really fun with those, seeing how closely or not the TV show follows the book.
What they choose to show or not show, or what they choose to follow and not follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's been several. So the way the book is laid out, it's like a bunch of short stories almost. Like a chapter is kind of like an episode or half an episode of the show. And it's kind of a standalone story and they're all just sort of strung together. Which makes the structure of the show make more sense in how it bounces around the timeline so much.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been several, I'm about halfway through the first book, but there's been several of those little chunks, the chapters that I was like, oh, I remember this from the show. Like this happened. That's a little different, but for the most part, this happened. So yeah, it's been fun.
So, interesting tidbit. It is fun to either read a story and then see it on screen, which is mostly disappointing, but it's still fun. Mm-hmm. But it is fun to watch something on TV, movies, whatever, and then read it and then have that visual play in your head. interesting story. Is it, I don't know. Do you remember the movie The Abyss?
Yeah.
Okay. Ron Howard directed it.
Oh yeah.
There is a novel. Okay.
Yes.
But interesting fact is the novel, the movie is not based off the novel.
No.
The novel was written during the filming of The Abyss.
Hmm.
So they use the novel to fill in some of the holes
from
that
the
they
film.
Could
yeah.
not from the film, which I found that's a fascinating concept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any other movie did that.
There's a very similar thing that happened with the novelizations of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, that's a different story.
There is a book for A New Hope. There is a book for The Empire Strikes Back. And the books were written either during or right after the filming of the movies. And they fill some plot holes with the books from the movies.
Yeah, they were written post the movie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To start that whole, you know, the whole movie set. I mean, the book set.
Yep. Yeah. And then... Labyrinth did something similar as well.
Really?
Yeah, and you're never going to guess who wrote the damn books.
For Labyrinth?
Yeah.
Or for Star Wars? Oh,
Labyrinth.
Star Wars is a bunch of... I don't know. Oh, was it the guy? Was it... the blonde. I don't know. Why? I'm horrible. Tell me, and I'll act surprised.
It was George Lucas.
Really?
George Lucas wrote three companion novels to go with Labyrinth to fill in the gaps and expand the world. And they are not easy to read. They're really heavy books, like dense books. And they're long.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean,
I read them in high school having no idea that they were tied to Labyrinth at all. And it made no sense whatsoever. And then I learned that later. And I'm like, oh, those books make sense now. But... yeah, it was a really interesting thing to learn. But yes, George Lucas wrote those.
Well, that's awesome.
Right?
Right?
That's why I read them in the first place. I saw George Lucas.
So, just to wrap up this section of our episode, I haven't been watching much of interest. I mean, like I said, we're watching Mandalorian.
Whereabouts are you?
No, and I don't know the third episode, but I did rewatch Solo and what's the other one? Obi-Wan.
Oh, Obi-Wan. Okay.
I rewatched those. I don't know why, because maybe the episode before we were stuck on Star Wars, but I put him away. Because it was, I don't know, I'm just tired all the time. I don't know. I'm watching some old series called Bull right now on Hulu, I think it is, or maybe Netflix, I don't know. And it's about this psychiatrist, whatever, who studies trial juries, and people hire him to help them win trials. I don't know.
Okay.
It's similar to Lie to Me,
mm-hmm.
But he's not as intense as the protagonist for Lie to Me. But you know, whatever. Nothing interesting.
Yeah.
Busy with overtime and paperwork, and I don't know, just whatever. But that's my story. Is not much story this last few weeks.
Fair there enough. You sometimes you just need a break.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's Dead Darlings time when we each share a single sentence from our drafts. No backstory, just the words. These lines may shine or could face the delete key, but we're happy to share our wordsmithing woes and wins with fellow writers. So, Ixtina, what you got for our listeners today?
As I mentioned, I went through some old chapters before, and so I pulled aside of an old chapter that may or may not be rewritten. Here we go. They were born the same winter, and ever since their naming day, it was known that if you saw one of them, the other was just a stone's throw away.
Besties!
besties. I like this because
I kind of like that.
I like it because it gives a lot of world building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can say they were besties, but you know, 12 words later, I've built in some world building in there. So I like
that. Yeah, you've told us that winter is of some importance. The name day tradition is a thing in this world. And yeah, they're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I hesitated using the term a stone's throw away because it's so cliche in our world. But I liked that it had a natural element to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I may modify it some more, but I think it works. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What about you? What you got?
Born in the sand and sun, taken, enslaved, and eventually escaped. Nothing had befallen her that she had not overcome.
Okay, I got to tell you what I like about this sentence.
Okay.
I like the, oh my God, I'm horrible at this game where I forget words in the middle of our...
That's what writers do.
Episode. Yes. But when you have the same sound over and over in a sentence. So, born in the sand and sun.
Alliteration.
Born in the sand and sun, taken. Enslaved and eventually escaped.
Mm-hmm.
That just, because those three words have the same letter of the same sound, S or E, mm-hmm. it really encapsulates that thought. So the rest of it is fine, but this really, it's like bolding that part of the sentence because
see,
you've alliterated
I absolutely
it.
Hate alliteration.
Ah,
I despise it
well.
With a fiery passion.
But you used it well.
Yeah, well.
I'm telling you, it bolded that part of the sentence.
Okay.
Without bolding it.
If you insist.
To
be honest, I hadn't even noticed until you said that. So.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful, okay. Dude. Beautiful.
All right. Fine.
Okay. I am that way. Now, onto the point of the show. Oh my gosh. Do we even. Okay. Now, onto the point of the show. So you coughed. So I'm going to start again.
Sorry.
It's okay. So here we go for real. Okay. Now, onto the point of the show and our favorite game. Each week, we roll a D20, which helps us randomly choose from a perpetual list of 20 scenarios. And then we talk about how it would affect our worlds. Are you ready?
Welcome to Boston.
I'm going to let you roll the die because I don't have it next to me, so I hope
you're
you
good.
Have it.
Oh, let's see here. I'm on the wrong tab again. Number 15.
15.
What if a powerful artifact existed that could rewrite the laws of magic, posing a threat to the very fabric of your world?
Ooh. Did you put this in there?
I don't think I did.
I don't know that I did. We must have a ghostwriter.
Yeah, I think we do.
It's called memory.
Right. Or lack thereof.
Okay, let's say this again. What if a powerful artifact existed that could rewrite the laws of magic, posing a threat to the very fabric of your world? I love this. I just love this. So I think all I got to say is I want to write this story now. I do. I want to write this story. It would totally change my story, my book. It wouldn't change my world unless it failed, unless, you know, Aniksha failed at this task of retrieving it before the bad guy. But I love this whole premise. So for my world, everybody has this quote-unquote magical ability. Mm-hmm. It's normal. It's just like everybody in your and I world and Earth and, you know, our real world and what is it? IRF
in IRL. Real life.
IRL. Thank you. In IRL. Well, you wouldn't say in IRL, but everyone IRL breathes oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So what would suddenly happen to make it so that nobody could breathe oxygen? Woo, it'd be really weird, upsetting, and people would die. But in my world, what if there was a known artifact that would make it so that people no longer had an obligation? Ooh, I really like that.
What if someone brought that artifact from another world?
Oh my God, it just got more beautiful and deeper and more. Ooh, I'm tingling. I'm tingling. Oh, I love this. So I just have so many words and so many thoughts about this. You want to go so I can like wrap my head around this? Sometimes a question we ask and I'm like, I don't know.
You spin off with all the possibilities in your head and you have to reel it back in.
No, that's what I have to do at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we ask a question on the show and I'm like, I have to fill it in, right? I'm grasping at straws, so to say. This one, my head is just spinning right now. There's just so this is gorgeous. All right, what do you got?
Well, so in a way, this is already kind of in place in my book. Well, my world. I'm going to say my book, my books, my world. Because magic in Ketra is directly tied to an artifact. Without that artifact, it wouldn't exist. And in fact, thousands of years ago, when the kingdom was overthrown and that artifact was broken, magic mostly ceased to exist. So in a way, it is very much tied to that. It has since been restored and magic is back, baby, and everything's great and new mages popping up all over the place. It's awesome. But let's say another one of these artifacts were to be introduced to the world. What would that do to it? So either magic would get way more powerful, or they could cancel each other out, or it could change the nature of it somehow. And like, there's so many different options for how this could go. So if there was another one and somebody decided somehow to weaponize that, that's its own issue. Because if you have a way that new artifact can interfere with old artifact, you could potentially find yourself in a fight with a mage or a wizard or something like that and essentially shut off their magic, which would definitely be a bit of a game changer. Like, knowing that's a possibility. Oh boy, I have ideas now too. Crap.
I know, right?
Oh, that's not good. All right.
I like the idea of what you said in your for your world, mm-hmm, of how a new artifact modifies the magic. Modifies. Mm-hmm. It influences or changes the magic. Not nullify. That's
right.
But this whole idea that suddenly, I'm sorry, I cannot remember your wizard's name.
Adonius?
Thank you. You know, third time today in this episode, I can't remember words. Adonius.
We're writers. That's what we do. We forget words.
Yes. What if his magic suddenly worked different? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not that he's less powerful, but now it's the opposite? Instead of him being able to keep fires lit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He now can't he can't keep water from seeping into the walls. I don't know. Just
so something I was thinking about with this, just kind of in the back of my head as I was saying all of that nonsense. If you had a magic system that was elementally based, like you had like an earth attuned magic that had a lot to do with plants and dirt and rocks and stone and strength and that sort of thing. And then suddenly the opposite of that, which if you go off the four elements model would be air. If you have another form of magic introduced in the same area that is the opposite of the established one, you could end up either severely weakening or just completely canceling out. Like, yeah, opposites attract, but at the same time, they'll kind of... There's a balance there, but balance is something you have to work for. And if you're not used to something, I could see it canceling out. Like water and fire would cancel out.
Okay, so in my book, in my world, it is elemental, but it more follows along the idea of feng shui.
Okay.
And in feng shui, you have the five elements, and one element feeds the next, but it also diminishes the one that's opposite it. Okay.
Right.
So it would be so interesting to say, okay, this artifact is coming into your world, Christina or Aniksha, or there's this artifact out there that will reverse that. So instead of everybody with an obligation that is water element, right? They're no longer, they no longer feed air. But now it's I don't know. I'm just on my hands just going spinning. I just love it. I love this whole thing. And
the possibilities are endless.
So do I do this? Where do I, do I put this in book three or five?
Was there a book five until just now?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Book five has been born.
You witnessed it here, folks. The birth of book five. It's a monumental moment. Can she do it? We'll find out in about 25 years.
Let's just see. Yeah, yeah, no shit. Let's see what she can do one first.
Baby steps, so, Christina. Baby steps.
Speaking of baby steps and doing all the things, very interesting. All my horoscopes say that I'm going to have a big boost in my career this month. And I'm like, which career? I have four.
Well, it'll be a surprise then, won't it?
And the one that's probably going to be a boost in is the one I don't want to be boosted.
Valid.
So I think let's we take this one step further. I think if my protagonist Aniksha was told, hey, there is this artifact that will change how obligations, how our magic works in this world.
Right.
I think that she would leave no stone unturned to locate it before the bad guy does, to make sure things aren't reversed. Not because she wants to preserve her own power, but because she believes that the world shouldn't be screwed up like that by for anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
So I can totally see this as a whole separate story of her trying to save the world in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. And on a similar note, I think if I was going to write this, it would already be in hands of questionable intent. But, Inara would probably do the same thing. She wouldn't stop until she found it.
Yeah.
And not necessarily out of like lust for power or anything like that, but more just out of preservation of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not really a lust for power kind of girl.
But having had power for so long, by the time you write this book, this alleged book, would she be afraid of losing that power?
That is valid, but by the time I write this alleged book, I'm not even sure that she would be the protagonist. It might be somebody else.
It might be, you know, that's a question for me for about your protagonist. So she didn't want this power in the beginning. She didn't want to be in this place, right?
Yeah.
She was a reluctant hero. Then she spends time being this hero, realizing that, you know, there's no one else, so I have to do it. And if something came along like this and said, and it worked, and she lost her power, would she be angry? Would she be relieved? Would she be scared? How would she react if she lost all that power suddenly as she got it?
I think she'd be a little disoriented for a hot minute. And then just sort of shrug it off as like easy come, easy go. Like, you know,
so she's no longer treated like a queen.
I came up from nothing. Why not go back?
Really? She wouldn't have a problem with that.
I don't think she would. Because she didn't want it in the first place.
She's a better human than me. Well, elf.
Well, you're not an elf at all, so obviously.
How do you know?
That's fair.
We've actually never met in person. I mean,
don't tell them that. We live two doors apart.
We live two microphones apart.
It's a door, maybe a window, but it's there. We're just proof that friendships don't have to be built in person.
They don't.
No, not even a little bit.
They don't. Aww.
Well, do you have any more to say on that?
I don't want to say any more.
I know you're frantically outlining book five, but...
If this is a video, you'd see that I could hold this up and I could say that I have some outlining stuff. But yeah, I don't want to, I've already gave enough spoilers today. So, no, I'm good. How about you?
Oh, I think I'm good.
Okay.
So, if you stuck with us this long, you're probably a world builder. Whether you're crafting your first novel or a seasoned creator, and this includes the D&D, game masters, writers, authors, or any imaginative soul that's out there spinning new realms, we would be thrilled to have you join our show. Drop us a line through whatifsouthisup.com or send a message via our Facebook page. Your world could be the star of our show.
And if you're too shy to actually come on the show and talk, we'd still love to hear about your world. Our magical spreadsheet is always open for new what-if scenarios. If you have a new unique twist you'd like to explore, we're all ears. Send us your what-if ideas and we'll showcase them to the real world. Visit our Facebook page or send us an email at whysouthisup@gmail.com. So, right. Derek, how can folks find you on the interwebs?
I am an enigma. My website is DerekHallAuthor.com. You can also find me as DHallAuthor on the Clock app and just about anywhere else. Xtina, where do we find you?
My website is uniquelyxtina.com, and I can be found on just about all the socials as uniquelyxtina, but I'm mostly alive on Facebook and TikTok. That's it. We did it.
We did
another episode.
We did the one thing. More. Thanks for listening.
We love all 12 of you.